He's not kidding. They will be back, you know, at 5:45.
The truth is always out there, sometimes way out there, with the Midweek Drive team on Siren 107.3 FM.
Welcome, Kaylee Umfraville.
Hello.
And welcome, Holly McGrattan.
Hello, hello.
Excellent. So, as Tessa arrives fashionably late, obviously the entourage set out there, her acolytes have been sorted through, she can build the whole scenario on that basis. Kama, would you like to welcome Tessa with news of this week's Live from Nashville tune, the kind of tune that literally Siren FM was made for?
Sure. We've featured Marcus Lindsay before. In fact, his album, his self-titled album, Marcus Lindsay, was on my top five albums of 2016, and it's a killer album. It's just a great country thing. He's from Texas, kind of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. But it's not what you would typically categorize as what a lot of people call Texas country. It's just straight ahead, solid country music. I really dig this. And this is the brand new single. It was our Nashville Access Super Pick of the Week last week. This is Marcus Lindsay, and it's What You Don't on Siren FM.
He gripped that steering wheel so hard, his knuckles had turned white, his eyes were seeing red, still angry from the fight. He had a duffel bag of clothes and his old beat up guitar. She could keep the house, he was looking for a bar. And as he passed that Baptist church on Highway 49, he read every word they had lit up on that sign. You can shout or you can talk, you can stay or you can walk, you can hold a grudge or choose to let it go. You make her on your own. It ain't always what you do. Sometimes it's what you don't. He climbed up on that bar stool, chased a beer with a shot, thought about the words he'd written in that churchyard parking lot. Pulled out that faded picture of his wife and his son, and cursed himself for being the man that he become. He put his ring back on his finger and headed home on 49. He bowed his head and thanked the Lord for giving him a sign. You can shout or you can talk, you can stay or you can walk, you can hold a grudge or choose to let it go. The choices that you make are on your own. It ain't always what you do. Sometimes it's what you don't.
well, we've actually been creating our own music video with respect to that. It came out comprised of slides from Marcus's very own website, which is very exciting. Seems to have stopped now. That's probably because the tune has stopped as well. However, what did we make of that, Kaylee Umfraville?
I really liked it. It was like a singing in the singing songs in the shower kind of music.
Singing songs in the shower kind of music. Very good. As opposed to selling seashells by the seashore, which is another line entirely. Holly McGrattan.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'll be hearing Kaylee from the shower sometime soon.
That's an interesting image to actually plant in the mind of our transatlantic correspondent there. But who knows? Hannah.
Yes, I enjoyed it. And as we were going through the slides, I was also admiring the singer's cowboy hat. You know,
black hats, of course. We thought it was dull and off-grey, but definitely black hat and acoustic guitars. And indeed, in one of them, a petulant child, Natasha.
Yeah, no, it was really good. Really good, strong backing track along to it. And he's just got the most wonderful hat. I need one.
It's the hat, but obviously you get a head, get a hat. You want a cowboy hat. Tessa Snart, country correspondent and founder, of course, of Sound and Country Vision.
I thought it was really good, and I loved the guitar solo in it. I thought that was really, really strong.
Thumbs up, Camo. You must be very happy with that. Any delightful very Nashville good. Access news you'd like to share with our listener, or possibly the Ward Thomas Agency, who might want to tune in as well? I don't know. This is important to get the message across there.
Yeah, we've got this week on the radio show on National Access, we've got an exclusive. You will hear it nowhere else. It's a guy named Chase Bryant, who we featured on the show before, and a girl group called Runaway June. And they've done a cover of the new Little Big Town song, Better Man, singing it from a guy's perspective, because Better Man was written and is sung from the girl perspective. Chase does it completely different. It just puts an entirely different spin on the song by making it a guy's perspective. So that's on the show this week. You won't hear it anywhere else, only on Nashville Access.
Did you have a good Valentine's Day, Camo?
Yeah, we don't do too much for it. I mean, I was working. I was on a commercial shoot yesterday, and then we recorded the radio show. But
it's the thought that counts, Camo. It's the thought that counts, honestly.
Our anniversary is on the 19th, so we just kind of put them all together.
Let it all blur into one gigantic pumping heart with the aortic valves and various other things working together. Splendid. Hannah, go for it. Those last two questions for Camo, our Nashville man.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
Yep, it's been good.
And will you be joining us again next week?
I will be back.
As Pierre Trudeau is shaking hands with the current incumbent of the White House, clearly there's a special relationship between Canada and America, all being built all over again, you see. I bet Cameron will change back to Canadian citizenship before too long. That's my prediction.
No, I don't know.
Now it feels so distant, I don't know what to say.
You might well say, why cut Barbara Dixon halfway in between January and February? Well, she doesn't sing about March, and we might feature again before too long. But the important thing is, Anna's battery might be about to die any moment now, and she's currently on the bus. Isn't that right, Anna Lewis?
I am, very so.
So, do you not believe in charging batteries and things in Jersey? Is it a religious thing? Yeah, is it kind of, you know, what?
I think, like some things that you hear about poltergeists and things that happen at home. Well, I think my phone is possessed by some evil demon that gobbles up battery, because it was perfectly all right this morning and I haven't used it all day, so I don't know quite what's going on.
Okay, Hannah, you're on the case when it comes to possession, demons and indeed Harry Potter magic. How can actually Hannah kind of exorcise her phone?
Or, well, if it's a demon, you should, following the supernatural lore from that TV show, Devil's Trap,
yes,
to put it in so then it can't escape.
Devil's Trap.
Yep, and then perform an exorcism.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah. You see why she's on the case there. Tessa?
You need one of them. You can get these really cool charging units for your phones, batteries.
Ooh, steady on.
No, they're really good. I've got one, and you can get them like memory sticks as well, and you charge them up and then put them in your bag. And then put them in your phone.
The choice is yours, Anna. Do you take the paganistic totem pole line that Hannah's been suggesting? Or do you simply go for the 21st century, get a different charger? You know?
But just remember.
I think I'll avoid the hocus pocus and stick to maybe one of those chargeries.
The hocus pocus.
The thing is with them, though, you have to remember to charge the charger, which I've also forgotten to do. And then I've gone to charge my phone and I've not had any charge on that, so...
Holly, I believe you have something to add.
Yeah, I have a third theory. Oh. I think if keep it warm.
Keep it warm.
Cold weather makes the battery Yeah,
keep it warm. That's an important thing. You're listening to the Midweek Drive attempts to actually solve your technological problems either via paganistic heathen rituals or indeed more technologically advanced ones. Natasha, any thoughts on this?
If you're going down the pagan route, maybe bring wet wipes and tissues. It sounds messy.
These are important things. And Kayleigh? A girl who always knows where her wet wipes and her tissues are at any time of the day.
Yes.
So I've been told.
I think I might have to go with Holly's idea.
Yeah. Keep it warm. Exactly. So keep it warm. So whilst the battery's lasting, we hope it's still there.
Yeah.
Describe the surroundings. Are you on the top deck of the bus? Is it a single decker bus? Where are we exactly in Jersey?
It's a commuter bus that goes from St Helier to St Wellard, where I live. And it's a half hour journey, and it's normally like a sardine tin, and it's packing up as we speak. Jersey's very small, but it takes me half an hour to go about 3.5 miles home. And if I didn't have sort of less energy, I'd try walking part of the way.
No, you don't want to walk. I mean, that's far too healthy an option. You know, you've got to take that bus. You've got to actually move with the whole thing. Who knows? You might discover another potential co-presenter just literally on that bus journey. Burst into all sorts of... You could actually be the community singer. You could actually lead the commuters into a rousing rendition of Always Keep Your Phone Warm, Sir.
Yes.
Always Keep Your Phone
Sounds
Warm.
Sounds like a song in the making, that does, definitely.
You know, come the musical, it will definitely happen. Yes. Kayleigh, any questions you want to put to Anna from Jersey about the bus or anything else?
What colour is the bus? Or does every
good drive time question, that. Yeah.
One, and what they've done just to make life exciting is they've put these like netting over the outside of the window, so you can't actually see where you're going in half the bus, because they've got this kind of, it's a design on the outside, but it's like a chicken wire effect on the inside, so lots of people go past their bus stops at night time because they don't know where they are. It's hopeless.
Good news, of course, with that chicken wire on the inside, it could double up as a prison van in North America. So do you have to wear orange when you actually get on the bus, you know, kind of orange uniforms, and do they actually manacle the passengers together? Because that would be another little way forward to develop that.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant idea, actually. We should do that here.
Alternatively, it could simply be net curtains. It could be a case of, you know, a kind of nice warm sense of bus delivery on that basis. It's amazing. And was that the first beep that actually said the battery's going? Possibly. But the last two questions needs to be asked as Anna desperately rubs her phone ferociously to get the friction going for the last few seconds, and Tessa, I think only you can deliver them.
Okay. Have you had an interesting telephonic link with us this evening?
I have. I've learned a lot today. Thank you.
And it's reciprocal, you see. I mean, most weeks you come on board and give us some magical news about Jersey, whether it be cauliflower sticks, cabbage sticks, any of those sort of lines.
Always
but
something.
This time I feel we've paid our karma. You know, we've had our karmic debt repaid in terms of helping you to actually help
Thank
your mobile
you.
Phone.
Thank you.
Will you be joining us again next week?
I would love to. Thanks for the offer.
That's great.
Stepped outside the backstage door to breathe some nicotine and maybe check my mailbox, see if I can read the screen. Then I heard a click, the stage door lock. I knew just what that meant. I'm gonna have to walk around the block if I wanna get in. A wristband, my man, you got to have a wristband. If you don't have a wristband, my man, you don't get through the door. Wristband, my man, you got to have a wristband. If you don't have a wristband, my man, you don't get through the door. I can't explain it, I don't know why my heart beats like a fist. When I meet some dude with an attitude saying,
hey, you can't do that on this.
And the man was large, a well-dressed 6'8". And he's acting like St. Peter standing guard at the pearly. Wristband, my man, you got to have a wristband. If you don't have a wristband, you don't get through the door. And I said, wristband, I don't need a wristband. My axe is on the bandstand. My band is on the floor. I mean, it's just right.
The wristband, so we can actually attend the science fiction convention event.
Hey, this is Larry Nemechek, Dr. Trek, and you're listening to the Midweek Drive.
Of course, last week, as we said, we were dealing with Steve Dickinson in Scarborough, and of course, hearing from Ilana Raine, director of We Are All Cylons, a little tribute to Richard Hatch. The reason Larry Nemechek will live forever is he is part of the Siren Midweek Drive team. Richard Hatch didn't quite get the interview scenario. It's the way forward, Larry, quite clearly. You know, this is why you are an immortal. Richard, bless him, has transcended to another level.
Well, Alex, I'm just trying to assimilate all of
you. I thought you would.
Yes,
we will not be assimilated. We're not the Borg. We're just very naughty robots.
You're crossing streams. You know what? I'll just tell you that you guys will appreciate this. I always wanted to see a Who Trek crossover where the Daleks came rolling down the corridor saying, assimilate.
American Daleks as well. Assimilate, exterminate. That's what you want. Americanized
right,
Daleks.
Right. I say tomato.
Yeah. Oh, let's not call the whole thing off. I've decided to actually, for the benefit of the listener, actually pull up all of the images of Larry Nemechek on the web. And isn't that a sensational list, ladies, of Larry in full force there? Larry as Bones McCoy. Larry as comic icon, comic con, etc. Larry in every sort of mode. That's, you know, this is Dr. Trek, the author of Data Cores.
There's some wonderful facial hair being displayed.
I like the poses. Look at that one. Yeah. So that one's great.
You've got the serious pose. You've got the happy pose.
The many faces of Larry.
Quite literally.
The many faces. Well, it shook up a lot of people when I shaved to be McCoy, so I'll you know, what a sacrifice that was now, I guess.
Technically, Larry, you could have argued, but in Star Trek The Motion Picture, when he was actually studying the records of the Fabrini, the beard was there.
I know.
There was facial hair.
Could have, as he's come to be called, it could have been Disco McCoy, because he's wearing that pendant when he sees Kirk in The Motion Picture.
Not the best.
I wanted to say it's good to hear your voice, because it's been like over a month since we've talked, so
I feel as though...
Enjoying you.
I'm welling up inside with the emotion. We're sending out those best wishes. And had we but known, we could have actually joined you in Southampton, because Larry has been in the British Isles, as indeed has Gates McFadden, and indeed a young lady who also made her debut on the show, Patty Yasutake. And a great time presumably was had by all. How was
it
Southampton?
It was a wonderful time. It struck me that after the last two or three years, I've been back in the UK more often, but it was the first time we had it was about 700-800 hardcore Trek fans. It was the most concentrated bunch of really hardcore fans at a fan-run, you know, charity convention in honor of the Dean's Cancer Trust. And it was just a ball of fun. And then Patty reminded me, and I didn't realize this, it's the first time she and Gates had ever been at any convention anywhere together. So it was like a little sick bay D reunion and never been happy before. But we had an awesome time with the British fans. Yeah. Had an awesome time with everybody.
Which is excellent. Sadly, couldn't get there because I was doing bureaucratic forms and various other bits and pieces, but it was a splendid time.
Excuses.
I know. We'll get there. Anyway, I trust you passed our best wishes on to Patty, and who knows, maybe we should be featuring Gates as well and not do this in the future. Let's just throw this out, because I suspect that not only have you not as yet had the joy of speaking one-on-one with Dr. Trek himself, Larry Nemechek, and in fact, I'll just pass over a fistful of data, the two editions from the current edition of the Star Trek magazine, which Larry is indeed responsible for, everything from why does Captain James T. Kirk stop wearing the wraparound shirt in the third season, which he was prone to wear in the second season, and indeed once in the opening season. You know, fascinating things. Was Spock the only alien crew member on board the Enterprise? Where does that put Marex and Arex in various other things? The awesomeness that is Larry Nemechek, as we said. Kaylee, any questions you'd like to put to Dr. Trek himself? Also known as our good friend Larry.
So why did he stop wearing the wraparound shirt?
Yes, Larry, why? Why did James T. Kirk stop wearing the wraparound? Was it William Shatner's weight issues, or was it something completely different?
Or something completely different.
Yeah.
You know what? You just said, I don't think I got into this in the column. Somebody was asking about it, as far as why it disappeared third season. I think I wouldn't be surprised if it was the weight issue. And I also think, you know, they were cutting pennies. They were cutting the budget everywhere they could. It's almost as if the maintenance and laundry bill on that extra piece of costuming, I don't know, that may have been part of it too. But I'm going to say it was probably the weight issue that he got into, just combating that. It was a time factor. Like, how much time could he be in the gym? And how much time are they spending with the stress of the show and looking for a new job and all of that?
And if memory serves, I don't think Kirk lost his shirt as much in the final season as he did in the first two seasons, because it seemed to be fairly regular that the shirt will either be ripped or indeed you see the full sort of topless William Shatner image in full force, probably manifesting itself in the pinnacle of being the Gamesters of Triskelion, in which case he didn't even bother with the shirt at all, basically. He was just a thrall.
Right. You remember well, Padawan. Yeah.
It's sad, really, but still, that's what one actually does in a post-Valentine edition of Trek and so on. But you see, the photographs continue ever onwards there, together with the Star Trek Companion, written by Larry Nemechek, with Gates McFadden, Beverly Crusher. I was about to say, are we Next Generation of aficionados? Are we Deep Space Nine? Are we Voyager? Are we looking ahead to Chris Pine? Are we looking forward to Star Trek Discovery? Or frankly, Holly, do we not give a damn?
Yes.
Wait,
I don't know.
Well,
Honestly, for a moment, I thought I'd stepped into And the Children Shall Lead. Remember, there are unpleasant surprises as well as pleasant ones. What would you like? Chocolate pistachio. Sorry, I could go into the friendly angel routine, but we've already spoken on the line, Larry, about how you should exorcise your phone, quite literally. Hannah, I mean, we know you love a Harry Potter scenario, but do you ever cross over to Trek, the Roddenberry vision and the whole essence of Star Trek?
Well, I've watched two of the new films that have come out, not the third one. And although I haven't got round to watching the TV show, and I know Larry did suggest an episode.
Assignment Earth, to be precise, I think was the one.
I keep forgetting what it was called.
Still was important, yeah. Available on all sorts of network scenarios. And indeed, you can watch it being recircled every evening on the Horror Channel. Not the same episode, obviously, it's 79 to work through. Carry on.
I will be sure to look out for it. But I have, you know, been, when Star Trek, I did do some research to try and clarify different things and, you know, getting my head around some of it. It's just, it's a very big universe, literally, to join. And with so many other current fandoms, I'm taking baby steps into it.
It's a big galaxy, yeah. Mr. Scott.
That's brave.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite lines. It is 50 years, but you can take, you know, you can go back to the original series or whatever and take baby steps. You're absolutely right, yes.
I mean, we wouldn't expect you to actually appreciate the entirety of the Judean Christian faith from the Bible, Hammurabi's Code, up to the present day, without necessarily sort of, you know, stepping in. It's the New Testament. It opens things up on that basis. Tessa, you know, we're gradually working on you to kind of get in. How's the Snart household coping with this?
Well, I think Mum and Dad will have definitely seen Star Trek, the original, and I'm pretty sure I've seen some of the episodes. But I just wanted to comment on the actual magazine. From a design point of view, I love it. It's so glossy and colourful.
Much like Larry Namichek's life story in many ways.
Yeah.
Glossy and colourful.
Yeah, I think it's great.
It's all due to me.
Do you design that? Do you do all the designing?
No, I'm totally kidding. No. It's all, the staff is all there in London. But they do an excellent job. They always have. They have for years.
One might say, Larry, they do a titanic job.
It is lovely.
Titanic job.
Yeah.
Natasha.
Yeah, so I wanted to know, in terms of Southampton, how does that rank for you in terms of your conventions?
Las Vegas, Scarborough, Southampton. It's a tough call.
The Scarborough, the highlight there was, you know, meeting Alex.
I shall assimilate. Sorry.
Uh-huh. I just started off that one. But no, I mean, Southampton was a little smaller than it. It's a beautiful place. We had wonderful, I mean, there's, when you're a guest, it's different dimensions. But, you know, the bottom line was it was a Comic-Con, and I knew that. So there were all kinds of genres represented, and it was a small Comic-Con. So there were some Trek people. I think most of the people that wanted to see me, there was a Trek club from Leeds that was very hardcore in the best way possible, and I had a special event with them for Portal 47 and for my documentary. And then that was in the night, in the evening. And then during the day, during the regular events, we did everything. And it was... There were a few people that came specifically to see me and to represent Trek, but it was low key. It was low key, but we had the best of hosts and the best of situation. It was lovely, you know, the sea coast and everything was lovely. And then the destination event is like a Comic-Con Trek, which was huge, but it's people doing 50 things on their list, and there's 47 different guest stars, and people are running around in circles, and you do have some quality time with people, and it's great to be there in that big a mob. But Southampton Sci-Fi Ball is venerable. They do it the same way every year. It's the same crew. They have it down. They're wonderful hosts. And as everybody has been a wonderful host. But there were, like I said, it was only 800 people, but there were only 800, only all Star Trek. And it was like a smaller version of Trek Vegas, which after you've gone to some of the Comic-Cons, which are huge, but not all Trek, and you go to some of the smaller conventions, which are all Trek, but there are only a few hundred people. Trek Vegas is great because it's maybe 10,000 hardcores 24/7, and it's a little frantic. So it's almost as if Scarborough was the best of all worlds. It was hardcore Trek, only Trek, and not that frantic.
Nice.
And it was hardcores. I mean, like I said, I've been to the UK now two or three. I mean, I've written in the magazine for 20 years, and I worked on the fact files the whole time. And I guess I have a lot of readers and fans in the UK. We have four members now in Portal 47. And, but even like at destination,
There weren't the ways to have meetups and things quite, unless it was just a chance encounter. And Scarborough was very low-key for Trek. So it was almost like Scarborough, even compared to the American events, was the best of all worlds. And it was very compact. You know, the hotel and the center were all there together. So it was just lovely. I had such a great time, and I was blown away because I always do a crowdfunder party, a 2-hour show in support of my documentary, kind of a crowdfunding simple thing. People pay in the UK £15 and I do a 2-hour presentation of a lot of rare stuff. And I usually have 6, 8, 10 people unless it is Vegas. And I had 22 people come, which just blew me away. So I love Sci-Fi Ball and love fandom there, and everybody was just great all weekend. And, you know, hardcore good Trek people, lots of press. It's just great.
Sort of people you really wish you were occupying the key positions in the White House at this moment in time, but it'll happen. Let's move on, because we've been looking, Larry, whilst you've been speaking there, we've been looking at some of the images from SF Ball 23, amongst others. And so, Natasha, from what you've been seeing there, it's a sort of event that you think, yeah. That's...
You had me sold on the chocolate fountain. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, that was lovely. Yeah. With about 9 or 10 different things to dip. They had little donuts to dip. That was amazing.
As long as you don't double dip, because there's nothing worse, really, for spreading sort of problematical things than if you're double dipping. Just step away from it. It's not good.
And they made sure to have a photographer, as you can tell, right there getting everybody, you know.
Absolutely. In fact, they've even got a question. Did John or Helen take your photograph at the SF Ball? Why not take a look at John and Helen's photo galleries? Extraordinary. Hannah. Is this the sort of thing which you think, yes, I'm going to be signing up, not only because we spoke with Steve Dickinson about Scarborough again this year, but, you know, SS Ball Southampton, is this the sort of thing? I mean, you're Harry Potter Society soul, so you might sort of think, yeah, yeah.
Well, I've seen a fair few Doctor Who actresses and actresses on there, and also Daleks, which obviously caught my attention, because they're Daleks, and who doesn't want to meet a Dalek?
Well, Terry Malloy and I got along, and my wife got along, and his wife got along famously. He's a great guy.
We had a lot of fun.
We kept getting paired up for the photo ops and for different things. So we got to know, and sitting next to each other, so we got to know each other very well.
Davros,
it was a lovely lineup of guests too.
Dr. Trek, yes, and Davros. It's amazing.
It's an ultimate combination.
I said one point, the Doctor and the Doctor Killer, so we had to tread lightly.
Exactly. I know. You know, my outside bet after, of course, the wonderment of our current incumbent of the TARDIS manifestation, clearly Peter Capaldi will vanish and Larry Nemechek will emerge like a bearded doctor. That's what we need. Bearded doctor. Or maybe it'll be Joanna Lumley with her facial hair. I don't know. Holly, thoughts and questions for yourself?
Yeah, it's kind of going back to the beginning of our conversation, but do you think the Star Trek world and films are going to follow the same footsteps as the Star Wars in terms of how they are now fishing out a film a year?
Fishing out a film a year. Fishing out.
Casting a thing there.
I'm sorry we broke up. I didn't quite get there.
Would you like to summarise, please, Holly?
Yeah. Is Star Trek going to follow Star Wars in the sense that there is going to be a Star Wars film a year?
You see, I tend to think Star Wars follows Star Trek, but never mind. Ooh. Biased. Larry.
Well, since day one. Well, I mean, what's been announced, you know, Discovery is happening, and most people think of Star Trek primarily as a series, and it's never in its, you know, that's its first best destiny, because that's how it's created, and that's the way the characters and stories and culture and tech and geeky stuff all flow best, and that movies are exciting, but they're just kind of a one-off thing. You get two, basically it's math. You get 2 hours every 4 years, and that just doesn't, you know, serve Star Trek fans enough. So, but they've talked about a fourth movie with Chris Hemsworth coming back as
James Kirk's
as,
father.
Kirk's dad.
You've got Thor, the Thunder God, meeting James Kirk. It's amazing. Obviously, the actor, Chris Hemsworth, who appeared very briefly in, of course, the rebooted Star Trek, in that very emotional sequence in which, you know, what are you going to call him? What about Tiberius? Tiberius, that's a dreadful name. Call him James. Oh, sorry, I was getting carried away there. But as you rightly said, the whole excitement of Star Trek Discovery, it's already out there. It's happening in May. It'll be emerging as if by magic.
Well,
just in time for graduation.
Maybe not
time.
May. Well, maybe disappointing you a little there. Maybe not May. Maybe a month or two later.
Well, it'll happen.
Sorry, Alex.
Listen, the Guardian of Forever will take us through the whole system. The many journeys such as these are possible, if you wish.
They are filming, though. They've been filming for 2 weeks, so it is happening. Be of good faith.
Exactly. They've started. It's like making an attempt on a dissertation. If you started, you might complete the whole. Exactly.
And they keep announcing the casting. So yes. There were three people, and I can't remember the names right off the top of my head, but they're online. They're everywhere. We're just grateful for any news these days besides what's coming out of Washington. So it was great to see some more Trek news.
Yeah. In other words, Larry, we're looking for real news as opposed to fake news. It's understandable. You know, it's
right.
Perception.
Right.
Now, Larry, normally we find you in California, but this week you're on the East Coast. So pray tell, what are you doing on the East Coast as opposed to the West Coast?
I'm sorry, Alec. I'll have to be shot if I give up that information. I'm in an undisclosed bunker. So, yeah.
Well, there we are. Not necessarily the best metaphor to actually use, because we wouldn't advertise anybody shooting, particularly in America, where the gun laws are so much more lax than we have in this country. But never mind.
I'm channeling the joke when Cheney was vice president during 9/11, and they talked about he'd been moved to an undisclosed bunker. So. Undisclosed location, making light of that.
In which case, we just have to say...
Hi, this is Chase Masterson, and you're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren FM and SouthsideBroadcasting.podbean.com.
She does that very well, Larry, I think. You think? Chase sort of...
She does.
Yeah, she channels the Lita Darbo girl scenario so wonderfully well. Tessa, any questions that you've got for Larry? Obviously, apart from why he's on the East Coast as opposed to the West Coast, because...
States. Yes. I think...
State of mind.
Trek Vegas sounds cool. Where is that held in Vegas? Or, yeah.
It has been the last few years, it's been at the Rio Hotel. That's where Creation Entertainment is the big professional promoter of a lot of, not just Star Trek. They started with Star Trek, but now they have several franchises like Supernatural and, a few others. Oh. But it started at the Hilton, which is where Star Trek Experience was, which made sense. And then after the Experience closed, sadly, they moved to the Rio. So that's where it's been.
Oh, okay.
One day, Tessa, we'll do a location.
You should try. There's nothing like Vegas,
actually. And I didn't even know. Yeah. I didn't know about this. Well, otherwise, I could have taken a visit.
Yeah. Why was the Star Trek Experience in a Hilton hotel? Is there a logical reason for that?
It's just that in 1995, 96, 97, when Paramount was looking to put this huge, attraction that was going to be on a par with anything else you could go to see in Vegas, the Hilton was the one that had the space and the interest that back then. Now, it's not a Hilton anymore. It's gone through two management changeovers since it closed. In fact, it went through management changes while it was there for 10 years. And the later managers weren't happy about it, which was crazy. But the minute it was gone, then they cried about it being gone. But, in the mid-90s, 96, 97, 95, 96, 97, they did a deal between Paramount. All the arms of Paramount, especially Paramount Parks and then Paramount TV, and the Hilton for there in Vegas. And it was a glorious, if any of you got to go, it was a glorious, glorious mecca for Star Trek people.
We'll clearly have to get into that time machine once again, or possibly just go on a slingshot effect around the sun. It could happen. Having moved dexterously...
Let me say real quick, Alec, real quick, yes? On that note, there is a Facebook page, a friend of mine, Vernon Wilmer, who worked there for ages. He's the unofficial archivist of Experience. There's a page called Star Trek My Experience, and he's putting up his documentary, and there's tons and tons and tons of pictures, and the people that worked there, and a lot of the characters that walked around had their own fandoms for years. And anyway, there's a lot online you can find out about the Experience, even though it's late departed. There's a lot of memory and a lot of video and everything that's up online, if you look.
Tragically, we've typed in Star Trek My Experience. It says, sorry, this page isn't available. Unbelievable. That's okay. Sorry, the page may have been removed. Surely not.
I will update this with
you later. This will be revisited. This shall not stand.
No, I just, we've got Stacey, we've got Star Trek. So Star Trek, My Experience, I'll Try Again, and Star Trek, The Experience is there. TV show, Star Trek, The Experience. We don't have Star Trek, My Experience. It's a curious way in which we actually move from let's see what emerges here. I realise it's fascinating looking at social media as we prepare to actually go up to the news from the Sky News Centre, but we have the Wedding Nameplate Project. That can't be right somehow.
I did a blog post at Trekland on this. The guy's trying to reunite people with the plaques that got married there before they were just thrown away. He rescued them. He's trying to return them to the married couples that were married.
That's just almost a step too far, basically, in terms of that whole sequence. But nevertheless, Star Trek The Experience, the wedding nameplate routine, thanks to Larry Nemechek's Trekland for the boost. Check out the video and learn more about Star Trek The Experience. What can we say, apart from those last two interrogatives, which, again, having moved from the right kind of apparel for James T. Kirk in the original series, I still always like the gold shirt, basically. The wraparound one was okay for Tribbles and so on, but yeah, that's by the by. It's time for Holly to put those last two questions to Larry.
Larry, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening? Or whatever?
I have. I think it's a record. But it's lovely.
It's been too long a gap, so we felt we had to give extra bonus Nemechek time for the growing band of Nemechek fans who are turning around and saying, we want Larry, regularly. We've delivered.
Yeah. I hear the mob in the background. Exactly. I wish you well.
Exactly, yeah.
and bearing that in mind, will you be joining us soon?
I hope so. I'll be back anytime.
Exactly. And coming up in the next part of the production, because there really is not time to have any musical break whatsoever. What? No music at all? No, because the news is around in a matter of seconds. We just have to remind folk we're going live to Disneyland Paris, Larry. Disneyland Paris. So from Las Vegas, track to William Coles in Disneyland Paris.
Going around the world.
Phil Leonis will be joining us with Sam Stone from Los Angeles. So the LA thing continues. And we've got Arthur Weingarten from San Diego, also pairing up with a whole range of other factors. It's just been a sensational time. Larry Nemechek.
You're hitting the highlights.
It's always better than doing the lowlights, really. It's always important to maintain that whole system. Now, Larry, actually, if you just stay with us for another 15 seconds, you can count us down into the news here in a very exciting time as we head to the Siren News Bulletin. There now actually just remains 10 seconds. So shall we go from 10, 9, 8? Feel free to join in, Larry. 7, 6, 5.
From Starfleet Academy.
Genius. It's time for the Siren News.
A person has been found dead at St Mark's House in Lincoln. Lincolnshire Trading Standards has contributed to a national sampling programme. And in sport, Lincoln United were victorious at Stamford last night.
The latest news and sport from across Lincoln on Siren 107.3 FM. Siren News.
It's 5:45. I'm Louise Brooks with the latest.